So we're here to celebrate baptism. We're going to talk quite a bit about that. And that slip of the tongue from that girl who wanted to be advertised wasn't too far from the truth at all, because we're going to look quickly at what baptism is. Now, baptism is very much about publicly advertising the fact that you have become a follower of Jesus. It's a public declaration. And that's why we're all here, to celebrate and to join in with them. But it's so much more than just that. So we're going to unpack that just a little bit over the next few minutes. Says, I'm going to mention bits from the Bible. For some people like to know which bits they're from. So I'll tell you, from Mark 16, we read this phrase, believe and be baptized. And that's from Jesus, believe and be baptized. And that's what's happening this morning. There's two people particularly, Julie and Joan, who have come to believe in Jesus and to put their trust in him, and now they're going to be baptized. There's another scripture in Acts, and Acts is the story of the early church, as we read it in the Bible, largely. And it says, repent and be baptized. And those two things are saying the same thing, believe and be baptized. Now, repent simply means turn around through 180 degrees. When I was at Bible college, it's great this, we were asked that question, what does repent mean? And one of the students, who was going to be a minister in church, said it means turn around through 360 degrees. Which, if you know what that means, you're going in exactly the same direction. I just felt I needed to explain that, looking at some of your faces. repent means a change of direction in your life, 180 degrees. In other words, we reach a stage in our lives where we think something like this. There has to be more to life than this. There has to be more than just this daily whatever you do or don't do with little purpose or meaning, wondering what's it all about. There's got to be more. And the more we look into that, the more we realize, I believe, there's a God who created us and has so much more than that for each one of us. The problem is we have broken our relationship with him. And we can turn around through 180 degrees and we can say to God, Jesus Christ, I'm sorry. I want that relationship restored. I want to understand the life that you have for me. That's repentance, again, in a nutshell. So what does baptism signify? What we're going to see in a few minutes, what does it signify? Well, we read this in a letter in the Bible written by a guy called Peter, his first letter. It says this, baptism is not about the removal of dirt from the body. In other words, it's not just about having a warm bath in public. It's more than that. And Peter goes on to say, it's the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. In other words, it's this, I've met God, he's got my vote, and I'm his forever. That's what baptism is about. I've met God. I'm his forever. And Julie and Joan are saying publicly, I've met God in Jesus Christ. And my life has changed forever. And I am his. That's what baptism signifies. And it's not some meaningless ritual. I know that church sometimes is good with meaningless rituals. This is not one of them. We read in another part of the Bible that when we believe, we receive things from God. Believe and receive. This is a full package deal. You get the lot, and that's what we're celebrating. John writes this in the Bible, to all who believe in and trust in Jesus, God gave the right to become the children of God. Now, I know many people in here will know this, not least of all because you've heard me say it loads. You might hear out there that everybody's a child of God. It's not true. Everybody on this earth is loved by God, absolutely loved by God. And he wants nothing more than for us to experience full life, all he's got for us, but to become a child of God, to enter that new family, God's family, we believe in and we trust in Jesus and what he has done for us. We'll come to that in a moment. But we are celebrating the fact that there are two people today. Sometimes, you know, we get to these baptisms and we think there's only two, and other people emerge and say, I haven't been baptized yet and I'm a Christian. Can I be? So I'm saying there's two minimum at the moment. We don't normally encourage that, but if it's people we know who are Christians, who are part of this church, and they haven't been baptized as a believer and they want to today, well, have a chat with me just between me finishing and walking to the back. Have to be a quick chat. The right to become children of God. Do you know in your heart of hearts that you are a son or a daughter of God? That is the most fantastic knowledge you can have, that you are accepted, loved, and incorporated into his family. So we're celebrating two people who want to publicly say, we are children of God. In this case, daughters of God. The symbolism in baptism, as you'll see, when Julie and Joan go under the water, we are remembering that Jesus Christ died for us. He did something when he died for us. He restored our relationship with our Creator. He dealt with our past, the sins, the things we've said wrong, done wrong, the broken relationships, the guilt, the shame. He dealt with it. And going under the water signifies his death for us and our death to our old self. Because we're told when we become believers in Jesus, we are made new. New heart, renewed mind, new life, new purpose. So we go under and it symbolizes death. And when Julie and Joan come up out of the water, we are reminded that Jesus was resurrected. He was brought back to life. And Julie and Joan will be celebrating new life. The old has gone, the new has come. That is the celebration. So this package, what comes along with this package, this new family? Well, forgiveness, mentioned that, to be forgiven, absolutely. Everything in the past, forgiven. God chooses to forget. He will never, ever hold anything against us, ever. That's forgiveness. That's part of the package. A restored relationship with our Creator, to know who we are, why we're alive, and what our purpose is. That's part of the package. To have a new heart and a renewed mind, a mind that sees the world differently, thinks differently. It's part of the package. A new identity, to know who you are, to know who you are in God, that you are loved and accepted. Hope and a purpose, all part of the package. Jesus says, I came to give you full life, to absolutely wring every last drop out of the life that God has given us. Jesus says, that's in me. That's where you find that, full life. We were created to live the fullest life it's possible to live as a human. And Jesus says, you find that in him. So fullness of life, forgiveness. John the Baptist, guess what he did? Okay. I baptize you with water, he said, but one comes after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And basically, John the Baptist said, when Jesus comes, it won't just be water, it will be water, but it'll be more than water. You will get the very fullness and presence of God. The very fullness and presence of God in your life forever. Daily living with the presence of God. We're celebrating that today because that's a promise. To every believer in here, it's a promise to Julie and to Joan, the presence of God every single day of your life, the fullness of God every day. And that has an impact on our lives, and here's the practical bits. So there's two particular areas in the Bible that talk about the practical outcomes of what we're celebrating today. We read in another letter called the Letter to the Galatians. Galatians, they were a church. And there were letters written to them by a guy called Paul. And in the letter to the Galatians, he says this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll read them again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, what I'd like, we'll do a bit of a test here. I need you to be honest, so don't worry about it, just be honest. I'd like all the females in this congregation who are married or have partners or have boyfriends, if that just perfectly describes your partner or husband or boyfriend, just put your hand up and say, yeah, that's my bloke. Oh, I saw a hand go up down the front here. Right, guys, everyone, Michael at the front apparently is absolutely and totally full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I'd like to test that at the end of the service, particularly the self-control. Let's see who can irk him a bit and see how he reacts, and we can see whether Mercedes was telling the truth or not. A good wife is biased. We're getting the disclaimers and caveats rolling out now. But seriously, think of those qualities, those aspects of character. Whose life would not be improved by that? Not just improved for yourself, but improved for everybody around you. Everybody in your family, everybody you work with, whose life would not be improved by a character that was increasingly being filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's part of the package of a new life in Jesus. We're not perfect. Surprised you, didn't it? We're not perfect. It's the beginning of a journey in which these aspects of character are moulded and changed as we live our lives. But it gets better. There's another passage in the Bible. You've probably heard this one read out at most weddings you've ever been to in a church. And we hear it, we listen to it, we move on as if it was nothing. It's probably the most important passage of writing ever written. There's a claim. Because what God pours into our lives is his love. And he asks us and says to us, you can now show this love to others. And this changes families. It changes communities. It'll change the world. Love is patient. I can stop there, can't I? Come on. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast, and love is not proud. Love never dishonors others. By the way, that means it doesn't gossip. Love never dishonors others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I love this one and hate this one at the same time. My bet is that when I ask the question, Mercedes won't put a hand up this time. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Have you ever been with husband, wife, partner, boyfriend, girlfriend? You do something. You did that before. That's five times you've done that. Love does not remember wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love will never fail you. Wow. Part of the package. That's the love that God shows us, and that's the love he says we can in turn show others. Do I really need you to put your hand up if that perfectly describes your partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, friend? But it is what God has done for us. It is what God has given us by his Holy Spirit, the power to show to others. Absolutely, absolutely without limit, love that looks like that. Who doesn't want to be on the receiving end of love like that? We all do. We all want to be on the receiving end of that sort of love. And the only way that can happen is if we are all living and showing that quality and that depth of love. It's part of the package that comes with trust in Jesus. What else is part of the package? We're near the end now. Freedom. Freedom. Loads of people think they're free. Question is, are we? Free from guilt, free from shame, free from chains that shackle us to the past, past actions, past thoughts, past regrets that really hold us back. Jesus says, they're dealt with. They are dealt with. You are cut free from those things in the past. Patterns of thinking, patterns of acting, things that you don't want to do but you can't seem to stop. We have the seeds of freedom for those things And we're given a new passport. A passport into a new kingdom. Kingdom of God. A kingdom where the rules are very different. The rules are these things I've just read out. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the never angering, the always protecting, the never being let down. These are the rules. These are the how God's kingdom works, and we are invited into that kingdom to live and to demonstrate it as we live. So baptisms, they are a public declaration that this life has begun, that you've started out on the journey that is a new life, a journey that includes living in this kingdom of God with that sort of quality of character, that sort of quality of love being received and being shown. That is what Jesus has for every single one of us. And that's what we're celebrating today.